Welcome back into the morning show, 960 The Ref, presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Logan and Dave on the first day of summer.
Yeah.
91 or 92, whatever it is.
Is that going to be that today?
Oh, hey, Coach Don is here.
Coach, it's going to be in the 90s for at least the next 10 days.
Yeah, it's 90.
What is going on?
91 today is going to crawl into the mid to upper 90s by the weekend. Thank goodness we have a bye week just to avoid having to play football in it.
Well, we're going to have to practice and get after it. But, hey, it's good to be with you guys on
Absolutely.
Monday. I appreciate you working out my schedule a little bit.
No, we're glad to have you in here.
I just can't wait to talk about the dogs. I tell you, I was driving out here and listened to y'all's program, and I'm getting a little confused on which game I watched compared to that. But I do want to clarify a couple things. I have a lot of respect for Mike Griffith. I had knew him when he was at worked up Tennessee. He knows a lot about football. He's a very astute writer, and he does it. But as far as Simmons on a restrictive brace, come on, Mike, do you really think that a coach like Kirby Smart would put a guy back there with a brace that restricted him for catching the punt? He had a protective place on his shoulder, but it wasn't a brace that would restrict him from catching the ball. And certainly he's our number one kick returner. He's done a good job all year, but that brace did not keep him from catching. He just misjudged the ball. So maybe it was a personnel decision in your case, but maybe you need to go talk to Kirby about that and see what he thinks. But and then as far as the first half, us getting out, Coach, we definitely had some problems with their tight end. But here's the deal. When you lose your starting corner on the first rattle out of the box there in Stokes, and then you got another guy that didn't even dress out your other corner, and you got a junior college transfer playing at one side who missed a game because of the hamstring, and you put McKee back there who's played sparingly, you got to cover up for those corners. Who you want catching the ball? Claypool or that tight end that hadn't caught a pass all year? So he was definitely open because we were trying to double up on those outside guys, and they hurt us with it. There's no question about it. But it wasn't because we didn't plan for it. We didn't plan for these guys being out. And then all of a sudden, we had poor field position and we didn't make first downs. Our first half, we didn't block these guys. And I do give them credit defensively. They did some things. If I'm playing against Georgia's big old line, this is what I'd do. I would scrape those backers. I would run them through. I would take some chances, and they worked. I mean, they got us in situations where we got a couple lost yardage plays, and they really did a good job of containing our offense in the first half. And there's no question about it. They did a really good coaching job, which you should do. But here's the bottom line. When you do that, when you decide that you're going to gang up on the run, you go to a single high safety, and we made them pay in the third and fourth quarters with some really good throws to Cager and one-on-one situation. So, obviously, we could have got maybe tried to throw the ball some more to Pickens and Cook, but here's the and Blaylock. But here's the deal. That's what he used to say about Tom Osborne. He's a great play caller. He did a tremendous job, but all of a sudden, when you only got 15 or 20 plays, you're not near the play caller. You got to make some first downs and keep it going and get some rhythm, and we just didn't do anything much in the first half. We had a poor punt, and we learned a lot about our team from a standpoint how we handle adversity. Tiger Woods doesn't shoot a 68 every time. You know, you're going to have some days where you don't click on all cylinders, but I thought our defense was magnificent considering – you're playing without your starting two corners. You take any team in the country and take those guys out. Look at Alabama. They lost their two inside backers, and what happens to them against South Carolina, who only made one first down in the first half against Missouri the other day. South Carolina ran up and down the field on Alabama. But Vanderbilt scored 38 on LSU. So you're just not going to go out there and hammer and tong everybody every week. But I give a lot of credit to Mike for standing up for what he believes, and I certainly think a lot of what he said was good. But that on the restrictive brace and the way our defense looked confused in the first half, I think it's wrong because our defense was trying to make up for the corners. And you give up a little bit, and when you do that, you know, they picked it up and hit it. Fortunately for us, we kept them at bay and three and out the whole third quarter. And then all of a sudden, here they come. So That's enough for me on that part, but I can't wait for hearing some good questions here.
Well, we got a lot to get to. We'll get to that for sure. But first, you know what time it is? We got to draw our weekly winner here in the Bud Light 3-for-all.
That was the reason I came. I had so much fun picking the first one of the year. We had so many, but today we only got 13.
Only 13 names in the cup. All right, we got to do a little of our own business here first. So, Logan, we got to roll through how we did on our SEC picks. Are we ready to go? I haven't even looked at them. So here's what we got. All right, Tennessee and Florida. You went Tennessee. I went Florida.
I did not get that one right. I'm 0 for 1.
All right. LSU Vandy. We both went LSU, so we're on the good side of that.
Is this with the line or?
Yeah. With the line. Yeah. Auburn A&M. I went Auburn. You went A&M. Oops.
So wait. Yeah, I got that one. What was that?
No, spread? You missed that.
I missed it.
Auburn won straight up. They were the underdog.
Hey, come on, man. You can't flip it like that.
I'm trying to confuse Dave.
Listen, seriously, if you give the points and the other team wins, you cannot win.
I honestly sat here forgetting who
was
favorite.
How long
have
you been at the lake? What time did you get here this morning?
The sun was very hot yesterday, Coach.
It was a long day.
The sun
Saturday.
Was very hot.
Hey, we do appreciate you coming down to the Friday night.
Absolutely.
That was good to see you.
We both had Missouri, so we were in on that one. And we both had Mississippi State. Wow, I didn't even look at this. All right, so you went 3-2, and I went 5-0, which means I've got an 0-5 coming my way.
Hey, Dave,
at some
why don't
5-0
do
for Dave? Come
for
on,
SEC
Vegas
picks.
Dave, why don't you stick your name in that cup? Right
no
now?
Kidding.
That way you can.
Well, let's see how we did on our 3-for-all picks. Okay. All right, so let's see, Logan. You had Appalachian State plus the 2.5.
I
good
took
call
App
there.
State,
happy.
That's a good call. You had Oregon minus the 10.5. That's a good call.
In trouble, aren't they?
They're not very good. And you had Wazoo in a game we got to talk to Coach Donnan about. Holy cow.
If you throw 9 touchdown passes and still lose the game, and you're up 32, this is what you're telling
the
guys on the sideline. Here's what Coach Leach is telling the guys on the sideline. All right, we need to put some other guys in, save them up for next week. We're up 32. Let's just cruise in there. And then all of a sudden they had 5 straight possessions. They turned the ball over.
And UCLA scored 50 points in the second half.
UCLA looked like it was one of those video games.
Oh, my gosh.
If I had told y'all Friday exactly how it would have gone, y'all would have kicked me out of the room and said, you're being ridiculous.
Wow. Usually I go to bed, you know, but I was just watching that game. Yeah. I was totally mesmerized. I said, this is going to finish about 2 o'clock. But it was unbelievable the way they're going. I mean, way over 1,000 yards of offense.
Yeah, and both teams ran for 150 yards. Both teams threw for over 500 yards. But the difference, like you said, was the turnovers. What was it, 6-1?
6-1.
Yeah, 6-1.
The guy throws 9 touchdown passes and loses. Have you ever heard of anybody score? What's the record for touchdown passes in
a game?
Well,
I know that was Washington State's record. That was their school record. I think was it Klingler or somebody threw?
Somebody for Houston.
Yeah, threw a bunch.
Scored 100 points sometime. The guy scored 98 and went for 2. Golly. That guy that used to peroxide his hair.
John Jenkins.
Yeah, he used to peroxide his hair, the head coach.
He peroxide his hair and went for 2 when he had 98 on the board. Mm. All right, so, Logan, you still went 2-1.
That's respectable.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's good. That's good. All right, let's see. I had Temple. No, I'm sorry. I had Buffalo getting the 14 at home against Temple. So, and they won that one straight up. I had Colorado getting 8 at Arizona State. I could see that one coming.
So right now you're 7-0. What's the last one?
It's about to be 7-1.
Ah, Dave.
Because
come on,
I took a man whose name is Jim Harbaugh. What was I
Mr.
thinking?
Mr. Khaki.
What was I thinking? Hey, I wear khakis myself.
Seriously,
Michigan. Holy cow.
Miami Dolphin coach Jim Harbaugh.
I guarantee those guys, they got some serious issues. It's
wow.
not just coaching. But their talent level was very much – that was a disparity out there. I mean, it's men against boys. I got a chance to watch that game. So we're going to get the pick. We got 13.
Coach, 13 names in the cup.
And I brought my glasses.
All right. Here we go.
Won't mispronounce somebody.
All right, Coach,
here,
pick a good one.
Jack Daniels.
There you go. The winner is Jack Daniels.
Jack Daniels.
All right.
Congratulations.
I will
to
head
Jack
to
Daniels.
Lynchburg, Tennessee right. myself to deliver
Jack
that prize.
All right, Coach. Hopefully you can read my writing. It's pretty bad.
This guy right here is a recipient of the Bud Light, Daryl Allen.
Daryl Allen. All right, so you know what we have to do? We have to confirm just to make sure.
Daryl's picks.
Daryl's picks. All right, everybody ready? He took the Irish, plus the points.
It's good play.
Good call.
Was it 14 or 14 and a half?
We had it at 14 and a half.
All right.
He took Colorado over Arizona State.
Buffs. Check, check.
And he went out on a massive limb, and it paid off. He took UCLA.
Hey.
Well, he had 18.
Let's see. He sent his picks in on Friday, so he got that game at 19. Didn't
well,
even need
him. Congratulate. Tell us what he won now.
$25 gift card, thank you, Coach, to Locos. And he's also now in the grand prize drawing at the end of the year for a chance to win the 960 The Ref and Bud Light tailgate, which includes everything you need in a tailgate, which includes a TV and $500 in Visa gift cards.
That's pretty stronger. About.
Yeah, so, Daryl, congratulations.
Hey, and how about you? 7-1, David. That's pretty good.
I know. I'm just such a pessimist. I'll be 1-7 next week.
This week you need to take off because there's no way you can do that again.
It doesn't happen very often. You know, if I had been one of those where, like, all right, you're 6-0 or 7-0, you're going to fly out to Vegas and hedge that bet on Michigan, I'd have been out there because I couldn't do that. Do you want to roll the dice, or do you want to make sure you're going to win something?
How about a backdoor cover yesterday? Seriously, now they got the Patriots -21, and they're up 30. I mean, first of all, in the first half, they fumbled inside their one, and the Jets recovered it for a touchdown, and then they're up 30-7. And they put in Jarrett Stidham, that Auburn quarterback, who's a good player. They're trying to give him some reps and all. He throws a 60-yard pick for a touchdown.
That's
a backdoor cover.
That's just brutal.
If there's ever been one.
That is just brutal. I tell you what, here's what we're going to do. We're going to break because we're going to take a trip around the SEC, brought to you by Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville. So we can kind of catch up a little bit on the SEC scores.
Yeah,
and then, Coach,
in
the 9 o'clock hour, we'll do our deep dive into Notre Dame and also take a quick look ahead.
That's great.
Of the games we've got coming up. So congrats again to Daryl Allen, our week 4 winner in the Bud Light 3-for-all. $25 gift card to Locos, and he's in that year-end drawing in the Bud Light and 960 The Ref tailgate, which does include a TV and $500 of Visa gift cards. All right, back to take a trip around the SEC. Coach Donnan's here in the studio with us as well. Email us those questions, 960theref@cmg.com. It is 841.
Hi, this is Herschel Walker on your voice of the Dogs.
Athens Sports Radio 960, The Ref.
All right, back here on the morning show, presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. It's 845. Coach Donnan making a rare Monday appearance, and we love it. And, Coach, back to next week we'll have you back on Tuesday. But,
exactly.
Glad you're able to get in here today. And this is where we take our trip around the SEC, and it's brought to you by Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville. Coach, I'll throw you some scores. You just give me your opinion. How about that
exactly.
on what happened over the weekend? Let's see here. Vandy scored 38 and still couldn't cover, losing 66-38 here. So what's the takeaway with LSU? They're certainly having a good season, don't get me wrong, and they look very good, but they've also given up 38 to Vandy and 38 to Texas.
You know, when people listen to our show, and hopefully on Friday night and Tuesday, there's a lot of things I say that maybe just skim over that people don't understand or listen succinctly to me. But I said after the Texas game that LSU has some monumental issues on defense. First of all, they got a couple injuries on their defensive front, but they don't have those guys like Booger McFarland and guys running around up front that just are so disruptive that rush the passer that helps their secondary. And then they had a couple guys go pro in their secondary, and they had a couple transfer, and they don't have enough guys to play man coverage like they've always played. You know, when people spread them out, they got exposed. And in the game Saturday, Vandy, you know, was that early game, but Vandy got a couple cheap touchdowns, you know, turnover touchdowns, but they did have some explosive plays on them and scored 38 points. So I would say the biggest difference between Alabama and LSU and us right now is I feel like our defense, of course, Alabama hadn't really played a whole lot of teams either, but I don't think those two defensive teams are as good as us, particularly – you know, overall. And also, I think Auburn's defense is really good. I mean, they've had two quality wins on the road at A&M and then beating Oregon, who's going to probably win the Pac-12. They scare me defensively. And now Nix is getting a lot of quality reps. He looked great making some third down conversions the other day. They got that Swartz guy on the perimeter who can really run. I think LSU has an unbelievable offense right now because Burrow's good and they got good wide receivers. But I think Auburn's got a shot at beating LSU.
Well, Auburn, that's an impressive 28-20 win at A&M. The Gus Bus rolling over there, Coach.
Yeah, I think A&M is not near as good as they were last year, particularly on defense and then offensively. Mon, they live and die with Mon. They lost that 1,000-yard back from last year, and then they had another guy that was going to be their bell cow back that got hurt and is out for the year, might be out for his career. So you just can't live and die with a guy that, you know, throwing the ball all the time. And the other thing that they do, which I think helps the defense, they got to lead America and wait until the last second to snap the ball. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many checks they're making up there or protection stuff, but they hardly ever run a play until, like, there's 1 second left. So you got a really good chance defensively to hone in and get your calls in and be secure and not make any mistakes. But they don't do any kind of I guess that's just the way they try to do it. But their tempo is very, very slow.
Shortening the game, maybe. I don't know. But, hey – Florida whooped Tennessee 34-3.
Well, that Trask kid came in and did a good job. Tennessee, tough turnover on the goal line. The ball goes right through the guy's hand for a touchdown, and the Gators intercept. But, you know, Tennessee just woefully inept on both sides of the ball right now. Can't move the ball. Their quarterback's having some turnover problems. Florida, again, their schedule sets up to be pretty tough. They got to play LSU and Auburn, plus us. So we'll see how they do. But their team, the three games I've watched them, they don't look overwhelming to me. A team that looks overwhelming to me right now and really good, two teams from the Big Ten, Wisconsin and Ohio State, look
no
pretty
doubt.
Dang good. But as far as our league, I like our chances. We got to take care of business. And what I see is the potential getting Wilson back, hopefully getting Kenley back. That's another thing we didn't talk. We'll talk
the
about
offensive line.
We play without two starters there, but overall, the league right now is really top heavy. We've got some teams. You could get an all star team among Tennessee, Mississippi, Vanderbilt, Arkansas. You could get an all-star team of those teams, and I don't think they could win an SEC game. I mean, of course, Mississippi won against Arkansas, but how about Arkansas? They lost to San Jose State, who has not beaten a Power 5 team since Caesar went over the Rubicon. I mean, it has been a long time now, and they look terrible. They had five interceptions, and they had –
But they're young.
They got a chance – seriously, they got a chance to go running the table of losing every conference game again. I don't see who they got to play Kentucky in a crossover game, and they got to play Missouri in a crossover game. I don't see them winning either one of those. And they still got a they got an open date, and then they play Texas A&M. But I don't see Arkansas, and I don't see who Vanderbilt's going to beat either.
I know.
That Vanderbilt-Tennessee game was going to be
I guess somebody's going to win that one.
Daddy there.
By the way, I know it was on the road. South Carolina didn't look good against Missouri. They get beat by 20. Mississippi State beats Kentucky by a couple of touchdowns. I wanted to ask you, too, what you thought. All right, so I think it was Logan.
Missouri looks a little bit better than I thought they would defensively. Yeah. Going into the year, but they and their offense is pretty salty. They got that big tight end,
Alberto,
and he looks good. And they got another guy. They're going at 12 personnel, two good tight ends, and the quarterback makes plays. I don't know what the deal is with South Carolina. They just couldn't move the ball at all, and then their defense just gave up a lot of big plays. They're 1-3.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope for Will's sake they can get to a bowl, but who are they going to beat?
Well, I know.
I mean, now that, their other game they were counting on is Appalachian. Appalachian beat North Carolina, and North Carolina beat South Carolina. So
So Appalachian State will be on upset alert when they're playing South Carolina. Yeah. I mean, that's what it'll feel like. By the way, What were your thoughts on, I think it was Logan, you were telling me that, all right, so Cal beats Ole Miss and the Pac-12 officials called out, I'm sorry, the Pac-12 called out their own officials for not reviewing that touchdown?
Yeah, you know, for what happened was at the end of the game, Ole Miss has the ball down inside the five-yard line and don't have any timeouts left. And they run a play, the roll, what we call the roll pick on the goal line. They roll out to the left, and the guy caught the ball. And there was a question whether he broke the plane or not, so he went down. And so they came back and hurriedly ran a quarterback sneak that looked like they'd drawn it up over there at the Grove. It was so bad, it looked like somebody was drunk that called it. And they didn't make it, and the game was over. But, you know, the Pac-12's officiating crew, and usually what happens for the fans out there, if you play a non-conference game, intersectional game against a Power 5 team, usually when they play out at Cal, SEC officials call it.
Right.
Just like the other night, the ACC officials had our game.
Yep.
And we had SEC when we played out at South Bend. So the Pac-12 crew should have blown down and said, look, let's review this. And they've got the right to stop the clock to do that. They didn't review it. It looks like after slow motion that he didn't make it. But still, it's, you know, the game's riding on it. And, you know, Ole Miss, that's a tough loss. Cal's a good team. I mean, they beat Washington. And
yeah.
Washington's good. I mean, that's –
Well, with Wazoo losing the other night, I mean, Cal's kind of carrying the torch now. They're 4-0.
Cal's good. You know, I give a lot of credit to Southern Cal, too. I mean, they're on their third quarterback now. And this kid came in and threw darts against Utah. I mean, he – unbelievable. There's a good example of a head coach giving up the reins. He was calling the plays, Coach Helton. He brings in Graham Harrell from North Texas, who is kind of one of the Mike Leach gurus, played quarterback for him at Texas Tech, and they're running that stuff, and they're doing a good job with it. They really confused Utah the other night.
By the way, one other game before we go to the break here, and a score that's never happened in the history of college football, 76-5. I know it was Miami of Ohio, but what are your thoughts on Ohio State?
Well, you know, those games, you kind of, during the day, you kind of span around and watch different things, but hey, you can, anything you want to say about it, Justin Fields had 6 touchdowns, and I don't care if you're playing at the Little League break or something, you get 6 touchdowns in one quarter. 4 passing, 2 running, and Miami of Ohio coach Martin had one of the best quotes I've ever seen. He said, you know, when you go out to recess and you pick up people for Red Rover, send somebody right over and you pick up the guys, he said, we would lose the first 85 picks to Ohio State. Said the first 85 people picked to play Red Rover would be their guys, and then they'd pick some of ours. But they were so outmanned, but they were up. They got a safety there early, and then the guy was, you know, they were behind 7-2 and had the ball on the 4, and the guy decided to kick a field goal. I mean, like, you really think you're going to score again? And just like the other night, Clemson playing against Charlotte. The guy did it last year against us. Got the ball inside the 10, got a chance to score. How many chances are you going to get against Clemson? He kicks a field goal. He did the same thing at Austin Peay against us last year. I mean, go for the touchdown, man. You're not in these moral victories.
Well, it's funny because we will talk about this in the second, because we only got about 30 seconds here. But, you know, a lot of Georgia fans were on Kirby about kicking that field goal to go up 13. And I know we don't have enough time to quite get into it now. But
yeah, I'm just going to hit it real quick. Hey, you got to get a feel for what's happening in the game. Our defense have been stopping, have been stoning them. You know, you look at why it wouldn't work more than why it would work maybe sometimes. And the what's happening in the game has a lot to do with it. But – you know, more than likely, most times I think he might have gone for it. But the case that we'd been stopping them and they hadn't been doing much. Plus, you got a money in the bank field goal kicker like Rodrigo. How about that guy?
I mean, he's unreal.
This guy's really clutch. So you can look at it any way you want to. I'm sure the people that had a chance to cover would have loved to see him go for it.
We'll talk more about that on the other side. Coach Don is here.
Signals.
We got a lot of emails to get to as well. So we got a power packed 9 o'clock hour coming up next. It's 8:57. Back here on the morning show, fourth and final hour. Happy Monday to you, Dave and Logan, along with you, Coach Don, making a Monday appearance. And then we'll see Coach again next Tuesday back here for our Tuesday shows. No University Tire and Automotive's Bulldog Friday night. this Friday, but we'll be back along with you October 4th. Is that right? Yeah, the game's on October 4th. So October 4th, we'll be in the studio. And then the two Fridays after that, we'll be back at the Blind Pig Tavern downtown for the South Carolina and Kentucky games.
Want to give a shout out to Kirk Herbstreit too for
thanks for setting that up, Coach.
To Dave and myself on Friday night, and he was just
he was great.
He was great on the show, and he's also saw him a little bit after that, and he's just really talked about the hospitality around here and the atmosphere, and you know those guys go everywhere. They know what it's like, but. Certainly was well treated here, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And the Notre Dame fans talked about the hospitality, the atmosphere, too. It's like, all right, now we want to show everybody good hospitality. Now, we don't want to make them feel too comfortable. No, right. I'm kidding. But
well, I guarantee we didn't make their team.
That's right, the team. Yeah, the fans are fine. Yeah,
that
the
was,
team.
Kirby went on record, and I'll give them credit, our fans credit, that they made a demonstrable difference in the game as far as
big time.
What was happening with the crowd noise, and you know, you take those 12 penalties, that changes the game around. I mean, you look at Atlanta yesterday, 17 penalties.
Ugh. Could we have to?
No, yeah. We don't.
Explain what Coach Kelly. First of all, Coach Kelly said, you know, as long as he's been coaching, that was like maybe the most physical game he's ever seen. But explain what he was talking about. I don't know if you heard it, but you can still kind of explain it anyway. The cadence and the clapping and what they do for loud environments.
I mean, you know, a long time ago, the Denver Broncos came up with the idea, Mike Shanahan, what they call a silent count. Mm-hmm. And instead of the quarterback calling the signal, the center does at the line of scrimmage. And the quarterback, when he's got everything set, he would raise his foot to let the center know that he could snap the ball. And then the center would just say, go, or whatever it was. And everybody at the line would go. So everybody's caught up with that a little bit because you see the guy moving, and sometimes you'll see the guy do a fake move with his foot. And the other thing you can watch for, on particularly in pro football, is watch the right guard on the line of scrimmage. He will let the center know, because the center's having to do so much, he'll tap the center's leg to let him know it's time to snap the ball. That's another way that the center gets the silent count. And then the other thing is they use a clap signal, which the center can see that. He can't hear,
right.
You know, but you'll use the clap. And sometimes it's the first clap, sometimes it's the second. Sometimes you say, hey, we're just going to go through the whole thing one time and then come back and do it, because you don't want those ends getting a bead on you when they're coming, you know. So, but he was talking about we really worked hard on indoors and working on the sound, and you know, we do the same thing. We know pipe in music and crowd noise and everything. But they didn't they were ready for just a silent count, but they didn't really have a really good plan with their clap, you know, as far as how they were going to use their clap to differentiate the snap count.
So the one fourth down where the center snapped the ball and Book wasn't looking and it got by him, and he actually almost completed the pass, but is that what that was?
Yeah, it looked like there was just total communication, because I think – at that point, they decided to go with the clap, and he hadn't clapped, and the guy snapped the ball. And sometimes that happens, you know.
That's what the 12th man's for, though, right, Coach? It paid off Saturday.
Exactly. Remind me to tell you about the Serge Bupka story sometime.
Talking about the old pole vaulter?
Yeah. I got quick one right here, because I'll never tell this again.
This will be a muy interesante story.
We were playing Troy State up at Marshall, and they had a really good team. They were undefeated, had a transfer quarterback from Alabama, and they were rolling. They were 13-0, nothing had happened to them. So I told our players on the Friday night meeting, I said, look, these guys have had everything happen to them right. I'm going to tell you about the story about Serge Bupka, who was a great pole vaulter over there from Russia. Never gotten beaten in any world competition, any kind of competition. He'd always gotten over the pole. He was the world's record holder. He never got beat. But when he got in the clutch in the Olympics in 1992 or whenever it was, he passed at 17 feet at once, and then he passed at, you know, if you pass, then that means when you get to whatever – thing, it's time to do it. You got to go over it. You got three chances. Well, he missed it the first one. He missed it the second. And then the third time, going for the Olympic gold medal, a guy that's never been beaten, didn't get over the hump. I said, this is what we're going to do. We're gonna pull a Serge Bubka on this guy. He's had everything going right for him. We're gonna be playing at Marshall here. We got the home crowd. He's gonna take the gas sometime in this game, and we're gonna all relate to it. So early in the first quarter, he's walking around doing those changes at the line of scrimmage. If you could just envision any quarterback walking up and down, and then going back and then getting the snap. And he walked back, and he still wasn't looking, and they snapped the ball over his head and went back about 15 yards, and he went back, and they had to loss it down. Well, about five of my players came running up to him, Serge Bubka, Serge Bubka. So we had him down. We knew there was going to be a deal where they couldn't. So that was the deal the other night. That was a bad snap, but the guy almost made an unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy could have caught the ball.
It was a drop, pretty much. I mean, what an easy catch, but it hit his hands.
I give Book a lot of credit. He's a very, very good quarterback, and he ended up with a couple picks because we screwed him up on the coverage. And here's another example of a guy. There's two people I want to mention right now that I feel like so important to have in the program. You got this transfer portal where, you know, guys can leave and they're not getting playing time. But Justin Schaefer comes in there. He's been a good Bulldog his whole career. He gets a chance to come in there when Solomon Kinley gets hurt. He had a stupid penalty, that's for sure. But that's the kind of guy mm-hmm. you need in your program that's going to be when you're called on, you step up and you do the job. And then Devon Wilson gets his knee torn up in spring practice 2 years ago. He sits around, he plays a little bit in practice, and then he gets to play against Texas. The last week, he and Webb did a tremendous job being called on to play the star position and the dime position. Because we needed that kind of stuff to make up for our corners. And these guys stepped up and played good. So, shout out to both of them.
Game balls. All right, Logan, did you have anything you want to ask Coach, or you just want to get to that? We got a bunch of emails.
Come on, Logan, give me a question.
Game itself, I mean, we've covered pretty much everything we're going to talk about.
We're getting more emails on that.
All right, give me
some.
Okay,
let's go.
One thing we've not talked about yet. Let me ask you this, Coach. And when a team goes very high tempo, very fast, a lot of talk and scuttlebutt out there now about what is Notre Dame doing faking these injuries. But let me say this before I ask you a question. I'm surprised how many Georgia fans seem to act like that's the first time they've ever seen that. I see it happen all the time. But, Coach, what do you tell your team if you're just getting run all over in a situation like that? I guess what I'm trying to say is how uncommon is it to do what Brian Kelly and Notre Dame did?
Some teams do it, but yeah. It's certainly not the thing to do as far as the ethics. I don't know what they were told to do, and what maybe is they did it on their own. Maybe the coach did, but I'm not going to get in and critique it. You always hate it when a guy's hurt and the crowd's booing. But when a guy, it was pretty obvious that guy took the gas there on purpose. But I don't like that.
Mean when he got run over by Fromm?
Right. So
yeah. See, that one was egregious.
Run over in air quotes.
Here's the deal too. That it's easy to say run your hurry up offense and do all that, but at the same time, what's your defense doing? You know, your defense is outmanned a little bit at the corner position. And you need to use some clock. So the thing we didn't do in the first half, we didn't make any third down conversions. We had a couple lost yardage plays, and we just didn't run enough plays. But in the second half, we picked it up, and we realized that they were taking a lot of chances. I don't care if it's Murray State or Arkansas State. When a team runs an eight-man front and they penetrate and the one guy's unblocked, Swift's not going to make it. I mean, that's the thing we used to have to worry about Todd Gurley. I mean, that's why he was drafted in the first 10 players, because he had so many plays behind the line where he had to get to the line where people were unblocked because he didn't have a great offensive line the whole time he was here. Now, in our case, we got a good offensive line, but this team did a good job of wrapping their backers. Come on, listen to me out there. Their backers wrap off and do different areas than where they are. Instead of them just lining up, they would scrape off, and they did a good job, and we didn't pick them up a few times. And then the other thing, they faked the wrap and ran through, and they caught us up with some of that stuff. So that's why you play the game, though.
Yep.
Also, before you get the emails, Logan, I noticed this too, and Georgia may have done this a couple of other times. He hasn't noticed it, where they bring a man in motion. I don't know if it was the running back, but he kind of curls back around the quarterback.
Yeah, that's that kind of orbit motion.
Yeah, there. That's not what it's called, orbit motion.
Well, some people call it orbit. Some people call it JoJo. Some people call it there's a lot of different things you can call it. But
is it just a way of spreading out the defense?
Here's what happens. If you're not sure, first of all, if you want an indicator for what the defense is playing, put a guy in motion or shift a guy. They're going to tell you if that guy's playing a man, he's going to run across with him, okay?
Right.
So a lot of times when a guy's running across, he takes his eye off the guy that's in motion, and he thinks he's just going across, and he's going to pick him up when he gets to the other side. But if you orbit and turn around and go back the other way, sometimes you can get the guy to take a couple bad steps, and then you get a really good release on him, and that makes a difference. So you got – if the Z goes in motion, you call it zip.
Okay.
Z inside. Zap means you go across. So if you line up wide and come to the inside but don't go all the way across, that's what Pickens did a couple of times where he blocked right there on the edge.
Yeah.
But if you go zap, you go all the way across, Z across. But orbit is you start across and then you come back out. So
that's
there's
what
a lot
was.
Of different ways to do it. But I like that orbit motion to kind of just make the team figure out what you're doing.
I said to Logan, like, Coach Donnan's going to tell us what that is because we were talking
during the game. I hope I explained
it
good. But
and it looked like, too, that Fromm, then he's got the option. He could go either way if he wants to with that. Although the couple of times I noticed that he didn't really look at the orbit guy.
Right.
The guy was in motion.
Well, what you're hoping is, let's just say, if it's zone
mm-hmm. –
first of all, everybody stay with him. If it's man, the guy's going to run across with him, and then he's going to stop with him and go back out. And but if it's zone, nobody's affected. But when he comes back out the side where he did, if he widens a little bit, then the corner's going to widen, and then the guy out there can break inside and maybe hook up. And it's all a chess match.
I love it.
And I think the one thing – that you always tell the quarterback, and Jake's in the 1% of any quarterback I've ever seen, is this what I used to always tell my guys, estimate the defensive intent. What can they do from how they line up? You know, a lot of people worry about all these things that, well, what if they do this? What if they do this? What if they do that? So what? You can't tell what they're going to do. You can't tell them, hey, please line up like this and don't move. But what I always say is don't give them credit for being able to play the deep outside when they're lined up on the line of scrimmage. You don't do a what if there. You play the percentages.
Yeah.
Or if a guy's got his shoulders turned to the outside, he's probably playing inside technique, and that really makes the fade look better. And if the way you look at a deep pass, if it's at 17 yards, if we're even – I'm leaving. That's the way you look at it. So I'm going to let it go. If those guys are even at 17 yards, I'm going to throw the ball to the over the top.
Yeah.
But if that guy is not even with him, then you're going to throw the back shoulder.
All right, remember that.
If I'm even, I'm leaving.
I'm out.
I love it. Yeah.
I'm gone.
That's a good way to look at it, isn't it?
I love it.
The morning show with Logan and Coach Donnan.
All right, so here's some of the emails. Joe, by the way, it was great to see Joe over the weekend. He came by and said hello. And
a lot of your friends in here, too. I mean, you got any money left with all that stuff you got to entertain this weekend? At the lodge? How about the Johnston Lodge?
Eating,
how many did you have over there?
We're eating beans and Frank's for the rest of the week. It was great, though. I love these weekends when you got friends in town, people staying with you. It's a lot of fun. It really is.
And what's great about it is everybody's got a common bond, but, you know, it came down the Blind Pig and y'all hung out, and then I'm sure it's awesome.
Got to see, like buddies from out of town, and I know everybody experiences
that.
It's so much fun.
Then yesterday Denver had to play.
That's right. They're like, oh, gosh.
Were they 0-3?
They are, yeah. They're a mess. All right, so this is more of just a Joe asking a question about, all right, so we had a penalty there was a personal foul. I think it was one on, it may have been on
Justin
Kinley.
Schaefer.
In the first half?
Yeah, Justin Schaefer got one.
Yeah, and he was saying that the play resulted in a first down. They moved the ball back 15 yards, but it's still first and 10. Then he said in the third quarter, Same type of penalty after Swift had run about 8 yards. They moved the ball back 15, but instead of second and two, it became second and 17.
I can handle that real quick, Joe.
There you go.
It used to be on a dead ball penalty, which is a terrible penalty. They used to say, you're going to make it first and 25. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And all the coaches griped about it. Hey, you just made a first down. You shouldn't have to go 25 yards. So if you get a penalty, let's just go through it real quickly. I'm going to try to be succinct here.
Sure.
If it's a regular down and it's first and 10 and you get a penalty and it's not a dead ball penalty and they take the penalty, then it's going to be first and 20 or first and 25. But if it's a dead ball penalty and you make a first down, they're going to move you back, but they're going to call it first down again, okay? Now, that's what happened in that case. We made the first down.
Right.
They got a dead ball penalty. If it happens on second down, then you don't get that advantage. You know, let's say you go 8 yards and then you got second two, then it's going to be second 17. So that's the way that looks at it. What was the second part of it? So what's the difference?
He was saying, yeah, that's what he was asking. He didn't think that the penalties in each half had the same, like, down and distance.
It's all on if it's a first down penalty, it's always first down again. But if it's any other down, it's the yardage.
So second down, that's right. The thing. So first, if it's a first down, if you get a first down, you're going to be first and 10.
Yeah, you could run – let's just say you could run – 60 yards and then get a dead ball penalty, they're going to move the ball back from the spot, then it's going to be first and 10 there. Or you could run 1 yard for a first down on third and one, then they're going to give you a 15-yard penalty, but it's still going to be first and 10.
Rambo says, get him, coach.
Rambo, I like that.
Our man Rambo.
What, he wants me to get him?
He was, I think, in your response to
right.
to some
and
of
again,
the.
And again, I have a lot of respect for Coach, for Mike Griffin. He does a great job here. And I actually sent him a text. I watched him on Feinbaum a couple weeks ago. He was very good on there. He did a good job of, and it's good to go out on a limb. But I just wanted to call him out, not call him out, but just let him know that Simmons was not restricted with that he had him. There's no way you're going to put a guy back to catch a punt. Certainly, when you got a shoulder injury, you're going to pad it up a little bit. But he just made a bad catch there. And then we put Blaylock back there, and he made a bad decision. I'm going to tell you, one of the best things you can ever have on any team, high school, college, pro, is a guy that can make a fair catch. Run up there and catch it. Don't let the ball run. That chaps my butt to see the ball roll on the ground.
Build the Logan Gray statue.
That's right. Logan Gray. Yes.
All the way out of Columbia, Missouri.
That's
Rockdale High School. I said, what are we recruiting them for, Bobo? Hey, we want him to come in here and fair catch.
All right, so Ryan has emailed in, and he says, I apologize if you discussed this.
Is this Ryan that used to be on your show?
No. This is Ryan.
What's he doing now?
He lives in Charleston. This Ryan, I believe, is in Charleston. Our man Ryan, he's over in Atlanta. He's getting married next year.
Good for him.
What is he thinking?
Good.
I mean, good for Ryan. That's what I'm
saying. Ryan Goldstein. Now, there's a good man right there. All right, this Ryan says, what do you think was the issue on two occasions in Notre Dame territory? Third down, it seemed Fromm didn't even have a play call until about 12 seconds. That was two big moments in the game that ended up feeling rushed. And then how about those non-pass interference calls that didn't help us?
You know, here's
any?
The thing about there's always going to be the course. And we talked about our mechanics. The first three games really looked good. Of course, you didn't have the pressure issue where the game was on the line. And sometimes up there, I mean, they got that 40-second clock now. It used to be a 25-second clock because the ball would stop so much. But now they got that. As soon as the ball's spotted, you got 40 seconds. You know, it's always running. And I'm going to tell you, when you're up in the press box and you're calling a play against Nebraska and they got those guys over there and you're trying to think of what to do, sometimes you don't get the play in quite quick enough. And we had a couple of those situations where maybe – we had a call that Kirby didn't like or you know, whatever. We just didn't get the ball play in very quick, and it didn't look as good. Usually we get them in a lot quicker, but, you know, for the most part, it's good to be able to know you got a quarterback and still get the playoff. But sometimes there's a lot of decision-making there, and you don't get them in quite as quick. And what was the other part of it?
The other part of that one, I just deleted it. I think that was the main gist of it. Was that or no? What was? Oh, the pass interference calls.
Oh yeah, that's
the non-pass interference.
You know,
calls.
There were some ticky-tack situations there, and you know, there's a lot of contact involved. I mean, you can't play man coverage against these great receivers unless you hold them up some. The difference in college and pros is pros, after 5 yards, you can't touch them. College, if the ball hadn't been thrown and the guy's in front of you and still is a threat to block you, you can engage him anywhere on the field. So we try to engage a guy at the line of scrimmage and then make him disrupt his route as he goes down the field, and particularly on the goal line. So there's some calls that can go either way there. And, you know, we had some ACC refs, and I thought for the most part, they did a pretty good job, but there's some calls I'd like to have back that they could have called. But if it's close normally in a big game, they're not going to call it. I don't know why. They just don't.
You know, it's funny. Whenever we get the – what do you call it? The cart, you know, that has the offense or has the lineups and the rosters. Yeah, well, we get those things the pregame. I always look to see, like, who the officials are, and I'll Google the referee's name just to see what it's, and it, every time you can Google the referee's name, who doesn't matter who it is, and you just get a bunch of either comments or stories about how bad this guy is and all the bad calls he's made.
What does that guy do for a living, I wonder?
I may be wrong, the guy's name was Jeff Flanagan. He's a longtime ACC official. I think he's an attorney. I don't know where he lives.
I tell you what, he
but it's just funny.
One thing about him, he's very decisive, and he says what he thinks out there. But I know I talk slow, but Jeff Flanagan makes me sound like a northern guy. He is slow.
Let's get the game on, bro.
But it's just funny how, like, every official that you Google, it's just people just, you know, bitching about him. And, I understand.
It's a thankless job.
Yeah.
I mean, and for the most part, most of these guys really do a good job, an instantaneous type deal. I know that I've got my issues with some of them. I know one thing. The one year we had where we got a terrible – my first year, we got a terrible call against Ole Miss where Bright, our linebacker, intercepted the ball, and he went in for a touchdown, and they called a block in the back on our guy, and it wasn't any close to being a block in the back. I mean, it was terrible. And so the next year, the same guy has our game there. And Roy Kramer had decided at the meetings down at Destin that when they have a break for the officials, that the home team trainers need to go out there and take them Gatorade or Powerade or water or something, you know. So it was hot, first game, and we just happened to have this guy. And I saw a trainer walking out toward this back judge who had chapped me up the year before. I said, "Don't you give that SOB any – don't you give him any water, man. We didn't give him anything." He was out there without anything the whole game. That's the price he paid for calling the
there you go.
Him back.
You're not going to get any water, dadgummit.
Well, I was talking about a son of a buck there, too. You know, that's what – SOB, that's what I meant.
But
I didn't give him any water the rest of the time he ever came here. I told him he better bring his own patch.
That's
man,
so funny. That is funny. All right, we got more questions. We'll get some of those on the other
one
side.
Quick one here. I just want to answer in five quick.
All right. Words. Well, we kind of already talked about this one, so I'll throw it out there anyway. Strap Dog says, Strap. "Good morning. Woof 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 woof. Four woofs." And he says, "What's your assessment on LSU? Are they that good or Vandy that bad? Vandy did score 38.
I think LSU is really talented on offense. I think their defense got some major issues. I don't see LSU as a team that's going to make the playoffs.
There you go. Oh, and then Strap did send in after that. Oh, you read my mind. You guys already talked about that. My bad. My bad on that one. All right, we'll hit some more of those when we come back. That was a good quick answer there on LSU. All right, if you got anything you want to ask Coach, 960theref@cmg.com. Otherwise, we may take a peek at some of these games coming up this weekend for Coach's final segment. It's 9:31.